Okay, great. We may have some people joining us, but this is the final of this cycle. We do these in 10 PLCs per cycle, and this is our 19th cycle. We're going to go on to 20 in January. It'll be January 16th. We're going to get started again. You'll be getting some things from us between now and the January. We'll have a Connect issue, which is this time we're going to be talking about, we're going to be easing into best practices. This last session, we've been talking about your organizational structure and some of the early formation of how you may want to form your program. And then now we're going to be getting into grantsmanship and the nitty-gritty of writing these grants. But before I go on to this, let's hear from Heather. And Heather, any news from Washington or HMTRI to report?
We do have some news from Washington that came in. They were talking to us today. Now, I know for a while we were kind of letting you guys know it looked like the RFPs were coming out early next year. They're narrowing it down a little bit more. They're looking at more of the February-March timeline for the next EWDJT RFPs to come out. So just so you guys know, it's coming. It's on the way. So now's a really good time to start some of those pre-preparations that you can do before the RFP comes out. They also wanted to share with you there are some other grants that are coming available that are not EWDJT, and those RFPs are becoming available. So just keep an eye out for the post-session notes. If you don't get them emailed to you yet, go ahead and drop me a message, and I can get you on the PLC listserv. If not, they can also come up on the Toolbox website as well. It's just usually a little bit more delayed. So if you want to get on the PLC listserv and you're not already, you can reach me at hkballou@eicc.edu. Again, that's hkballou@eicc.edu.
Great. And Bruce is in the last stages of his employee finder. Bruce, you want to tell us a little bit about that, how it could help everyone, and find out when graduation dates are and that type of thing and where we're at?
Well, I hadn't planned on saying anything, but there's still 23 people, grantees, that I have not heard from. I sent out an email 3 different times for you to fill out a form to help me update the certified employee finder. I will be calling individual grantees, the 22 I haven't heard from, beginning this afternoon, continuing through the end of this week, and I'm hoping to get the new version of the certified employee finder up by the end of next week. Thanks.
Great. Sorry to put you on the spot. This is a great reference. It's we provide it to employers who may be looking for certified people, but it's also useful to grantees and prospective grantees, particularly if you haven't written a grant in a while or this is your first time. You'll be able to see from our grantees what their curriculum looks like, types of people they're graduating, and some information, and more important, some contact information if you want to get a hold of them. So it's really got a hidden use of just kind of getting an idea of what other people around the country are doing. And one thing about our grantees is they're always willing to help if you have a certain question about something. So it'll give you a direct contact where you can call them. And we try to get as many people to respond to the employee finder. And, of course, it's very valuable when there's a natural disaster, whether it's fires or Katrina or Sandy or any natural disaster, particularly when they're looking for people who have had 1910-120, and they need people and they need them now. And in the past, they've basically, anyone who had 1910-120, they were putting them up, bringing them down, and they had a desperate need for people quickly. So that's a good resource for not only employers, but potential grantees and re-up grantees. When I talk about re-up, I talk about people who are grantees now and are interested in resubmitting for this next round that will come around in the February-March area. Just a shout out to George Bush, 41. He was during his tenure, he was responsible for the re-up of the Clean Air Act, talking about re-ups. And it was big in terms of acid rain, adding that to the program. So he was a friend of EPA and a good guy. So we salute him today. Well, what we did in the last cycle was looking at things that you do need to do now. And I'm talking to new grantees and prospective grantees. I'm talking to existing grantees. You probably know the way this is going to work for the environmental workforce development people is February, March, the RFP will go out. You get, once that clock starts to tick, you get 60 days to respond to that RFP. Then they generally take about 90 days, 60 to 90 days. You get 15 days where they tell you whether your grant goes on to the next review. And then you can count on another 60, might extend to 90 days where they pick the winners. So if we talk about March, February, March, that means April, May, your grants are going to be due. By early summer, those will be selected that will be funded. The money won't start to roll until after October 1st, 2020, or 2019, I'm sorry. That starts a new federal fiscal year. So in other words, you'll know that you got the grant in the summer, and then by the time you get your paperwork done and get your work plan approved, it'll be October by that time. And then you could begin work. Now, the way federal programs work is you could start drawing money 90 days. You could start spending money 90 days before that. So once you get accepted in the summer, you can count on that to start developing your program. You don't get checks until after October 1st. And that's why they refer to it as, it's going to be referred to as a 2020 Environmental Workforce Development and Job Training Grant, because it's actually going to be issued in the federal fiscal year of 2020, even though it's really October 2019. So it's a little confusing the way those work, but that's the way the funding stream goes. So what we have to look at is, how do we get ready for the RFP that's going to be coming out in February, March? I would say from this point, we're hoping there'll be more money, but there's going to be more competition for a couple of reasons. They did skip the 2019 competition, which would normally be about this time. You've probably noticed, some of you, and this is all going to be in the newsletter, but you'll probably notice that the ARC grants, which are cleanup and the assessment grants, did go out. They were funded in 2019. We weren't, but they were. So it's no favor to them because RFP was issued just a week or two ago, and they're going to be due, their grants are going to be due January 31st, which means they're going to have to work like crazy over Christmas holiday to get their grants in on January 31st. There's going to be more in the newsletter following this post-session notes about the grants. And I would say this about the ARC grants. These are our sister grants. We do manpower development. They do the actual boots meet the ground work. They're the ones that are doing the cleanup. They're doing the assessment. What we're doing, theoretically, is helping them, and they're providing jobs for our people. So from EPA's point of view, they want to make sure that we work with those two grantees, the assessments, the revolving loan funds, and the cleanup, particularly the cleanup grants. Now, in fact, if you look at their RFPs, and I'll put links to their RFPs, they're included in their criteria evaluation is to work with the job trainers. So they're probably as much interested in talking to you as you are them. And I think it will be very necessary when you write your grants in February, March, which gives you April and May. Hopefully they will have, those will have submitted, and you'll be able to find out who they are. And we'll talk about that later. But what you want to do is you want to get to know who the people are that are submitting the assessment, the revolving loan fund, and the cleanup grants. And you're going to want to mention them in your proposal. So this gets into the whole idea of what should we be doing now in preparation for this March request for proposals. And there are some things, and those of you who have submitted grants know, you can't wipe out, we can't whip out this grant in a month or so. There's a lot of groundwork that needs to be done. And those people who will get these grants are going to have to demonstrate the following traits. Probably the most important are partners. Who are they working with? What kind of working partners do they have? And I'm not just talking about other trainers and people who are supporting them, but I'm also talking about people like who is doing the cleanup? Who are your employer partners? Who are you working with that are interested in your people? I'm also talking about political partners. How far have you gotten into the mayor's office or the governor's office or the county office? Are you familiar with city council? Do you know who they are? Can you get them to come to your graduation? Those types of things, that type of relationship. Our best grantees have people from the mayor's office for photo ops or congressmen. So excuse me. It's important that you develop political partners. Many times these are very informal relationships. And then you've got your supporters, whether it's your community that you're working in, whether it's people just are endorsing your program, those types of partners. These types of relationships can take a long time to develop. And what you need to do at this point in time is you need to start cultivating these relationships in, excuse me, you're going to have to cultivate these relationships and you're going to have to, and you're going to ask me the question, well, how, you're asking me to develop partners and I don't even have the grant. I don't even know if I'm going to get the grant, but that's okay because my response to you is you always qualify this as, at this point in the game, you want to go around to the mayor's office, to the governor's office, to public and private partnerships, potentials, other nonprofits. You want to ask the question, we are thinking of submitting a grant to the EPA that will allow us to train people in underserved communities in remediation technology. And we'd be interested in having you as a partner. Would you be interested in getting involved if we pursue this path? There's no commitment on your part. And what you're doing is you're generating a buzz. And the response might be, oh, yeah, we're interested. And a better response might be, we're not only interested, but we've got an enterprise zone in this part of our city, or we've got a federal grant in this part of the city, or we would like to join in, or we would like you to work with us to combine this grant with some other work we're doing. And these are very early stage questions that you want to get answered because they may lead you on, they're going to lead you to the next step. They're going to say, oh, we have an enterprise zone in this part of the city. If you join in on that, we can make your target group that. We could get you additional funds or we could provide you additional leverage. Again, you have not promised anything, but they're leading you on to the next step. And the next question you have is, well, who can I contact to go to the next level? Who then you go to and say, we're thinking of doing this. So, again, these are nice things to do now because you're not under pressure. To do this in March becomes very difficult because they may be having a meeting in 2 weeks that they'd like you to attend, maybe a city council meeting that they'd say, we'd like you to present, put this up in front of city council and see what they say. So these things take time, but if you do them now, you don't have the pressure that you would have later. Second, you have no commitment. Most important thing is when you write this, a lot of ammunition. And EPA, I would say number one is looking for these partnerships that you've developed. And they know what are short-term partners, and they know the difference between short-term and long-term. They know if you've gotten into the mayor's office or whether you're in an enterprise zone or whether you're in a zone that's being leveraged by other federal grants. And of course, these things take a lot of time. And that kind of moves into leveraging. Because if you could link up with a special tax incentive group, zone, or like I say, an enterprise, all sorts of names for those zones, you can now tremendously increase your leverage. And you can use that, and this is probably the second biggest thing that EPA is looking for in terms of the successful grantees, is what kind of leveraging are you doing? So again, leveraging takes a long time. You could start your leverage partners, but in a non-committal sense. If you apply for the worst case, you apply for it, you've got all these partners lined up, and I know this is a little difficult, and you don't get the grant. Well, you go back and say, we had a good try. Maybe they'll provide you with resources. They may even provide you with offer to be your fiscal agent, or they may offer you grant writers and say, why don't we put you up with these other people who have lots of successful federal grants, and you can work with them, and you're going to have a much better shot at this. So worst case, you don't get the grant. You go back and say, well, we had a good try, and we appreciate your work. We're going to try it again on the next round. We're going to do the check the reader's notes. We're going to talk to EPA and see why we didn't get it. But we want to keep in touch. You may be surprised. There's another fallout of this. They may say, we like the concept. The mayor may say, we like the concept. Or one of the agencies, we can maybe fit you into one of these other agencies. We got some extra money, discretionary funds, or we could put this in where you can work with this other agency for a while until the next opportunity comes up, or in addition to it. And you may get started without any federal funds. So there's just a whole lot of benefits you get from snooping around now. And again, what's really neat about snooping around now is you're not under pressure. As soon as this thing comes out, you're going to be focusing on what we're going to be talking about in January and through April will be best practices. How do you do the labor market assessment that EPA wants you to do? How do you respond to recruitment and assessment? How do you respond to curriculum? What's that curriculum going to be? How do you, what kind of life skills, how do you do that? So those are the things you'll be focusing on and responding to the evaluation criteria. But now we're building the foundation that you're going to need to build on in February when you start writing this. So again, you got time, and it's a good time to do this. The third thing I think are most important, and I listed partners being one, leveraging opportunities or two, live leveraging two. Three, which is an oddball, is grantsmanship. We have some of the best grantees in the world, and they don't get funded. And it pains me when I see a really good community, and we've got some awesome communities, and they don't get funded. And we fought EPA for years. We need to increase the funding. But if we have 60 or 70 applicants and they can only take 10, they have to use some kind of criteria. And they don't do site visits. You know, in the old days, some of these grants, we used to do site visits. They don't do that. So the only thing they know is what's in your grant. So you could have the best program, the best partners, and you don't explain it well enough, you're going to get knocked out. And again, this is a good time to start snooping around, and this would be an advantage of linking up with a large organization, or at least borrowing their grant writers, or seeing even as part of leveraging, can you help us write this grant? Get them on board now. Again, that's not something you're going to be able to do after this thing comes out. As far as grantsmanship goes, if you're brand new to this and you have not ever done a federal grant, you're going to have my number one advice would link up with someone who has done them. If you start from scratch, you've got to get a DUNS number. And you're going to have to go, you definitely have to go to grants.gov, and there's a course you could take, Grants 101, and they'll lead you through the whole process of you've got to have the fiscal agent, you've got to have, you've got to know the process and how to submit. Everyone has to submit through grants.gov. It's very clear on how to do it, so that's not a problem. It's a heck of a lot easier if you can find someone now that's done this and said, oh, yeah, we do federal grants all the time. That's going to also help you in the RFP because they're going to ask you what grants experience have you got. So you want to, again, is at this point in the process, you're just feeling around, you're not making any commitments, and you're assessing, you're kind of finding out who you want to hook up with. Who's going to give you the best grant assistance writing? Who has done this before? Who's got the accounting ability? Who's got the ability to do audits if it comes to that? And what you want to do, if you can, is partner with them or bring them on board. And of course, if you bring them on board, it's one of those in-kind relationships where, yeah, we'll help you a lot. Often, community college is a good example where you could use our grants development people, or if it's a governmental organization, we'll put you in touch with these people who are closest to what you're doing. They may be even some sort of job training, not environmental, but some sort or some type of program that has worked either with EPA, ideally, or Interior, some other department, and you can work with them to work your grant out, again, before you've even started, and it's a great way. Now, if you're a nonprofit and you're a standalone nonprofit, and I won't say this now, but later once this gets started, I would say you really have to find someone, another nonprofit, that has this experience, because to start from scratch now, you've got time and you can learn this process and you can do it without a problem. You just have a tremendous shortcut if you could somehow partner or leverage with someone. It doesn't mean that it's not your project. It's just that they're going to provide you in-kind, if you're going to ask for in-kind grant writing, you might as well ask for in-kind audit and financial services if you can to help you with your program. Now, for those of you who have been doing this for a year or two or three cycles, you've got it down. So if you've done it for two or three cycles, what I would say you have to do is hone up your grant, your narrative grant writing ability. And, of course, as competition grows, the grant writers get better and better. And I know the way many organizations do it, the technical people will often provide the meat. This is what we do. And they may go beyond the meat. They would go into answering all of the ranking criteria questions, but they'll hand it over to someone who is not an engineering major, they're an English major. And that person can coalesce and regurgitate and write a really nice grant. We've seen many grants that are, you know, they're great. You know that they got the expertise down. But us engineers, you know, how many English courses did we really take? Our Achilles heel is when we get down to writing a nice readable document that flows. So, again, as I said, we've got partnering probably being number one that you're going to have to address. It takes a lot of time. Leveraging opportunities and how you can leverage those funds, and then lining up your grant writing people and how you're going to kind of think ahead, almost like going through a bobsled run. How are you going to maneuver through this whole process? And of course, it helps that if you have a patron to help you as you go through this process. It takes a while and takes a lot of man hours, so you've got to be able to support yourself as part of this. So that's another issue. So at this point in time, a month or two out, I definitely would think about these things. Now, what we're going to be doing in the next couple months is we'll be moving from these general things and assuming that you are working on those into these best practices. And the way we do this, we identify 8 critical issues, and these are things that everyone's got to do to have a successful program. And then we take the critical issues and then we break them down into best practices. And each PLC will have some grantees talk about their programs and how they've addressed some of these best practices. The critical issues are things like assessment, partnerships, which I mentioned, leveraging, recruitment, developing your curriculum, what kind of curriculum you like, what kind of life skills would you be providing, what are you doing in terms of placement and tracking, and what are you doing to sustain your program. So those are critical issues that you have to have and address in this to complete one of these successful grants. The best practices is taking that down to the next level and saying, okay, how do I do it? How do I do a labor market assessment? And not just a labor market assessment, how do I do a target community assessment, because they go hand in hand. So that's kind of the direction we're going in. And we're hoping that we can get everyone on board. And the way we approach it, and we're going to talk to you in our post-session notes about what TAB is doing. They're our counterparts on the technical side, technical assistance at Brownfields. They're helping their grantees in a similar way. And they're going to have several seminars. And I'm going to put it in the notes, so you get those on Friday. There's going to be several things that will happen that will also happen when the EPA RFP goes out in February, March. They're going to have a webinar on grant writing. They're going to be talking about their program. And I'll put those dates and call in. You don't have to reserve. You can just call in. And I would encourage you to go to some of these webinars and find out what they're requiring of their grid. Excuse me again. What are they requiring of their grantees? And I've looked at their RFPs. Their RFPs are similar to ours. So you're going to see that what they need to do, we're going to need to do. And so I think it would give you a good introduction into what the technical people are doing and what we need to do. So we try to keep these to 30 minutes, particularly when we have Thanksgiving colds, as I do. Anyone have any observations or ideas about what we all as a group should be doing now in anticipation of the RFP? Okay, well, I hope you're all on board, and we're going to be your best friends, hopefully, and your big cheerleaders, and we're gonna help people do what they need to do to write the best grants they can. So with that,
and don't
we're
forget
gonna,
the
wish you all a good holiday,
toolbox.
And you'll be hearing from us on the internet. With some publications, and other than that, if you have any questions, just email us. So you all have a great day and a good holiday.
Thank you. You too.